Good morning, everyone. It is so great to see all of you here this morning. For those who don't know me, I'm Josh Wendt. I am a USC Charlotte student. I've been given the opportunity this morning to deliver the message. Pastor Darren has asked me to do that. And a little bit about me. I've been coming to Cross Point for about the last 2 years or so. I originally was from New Jersey. And want to give a special shout out to my family in New Jersey. And while I give the shout out to my family, I want to give a shout out to all those people who are joining us online this morning, as they do every week through Facebook Live. So we are in the middle of this series. We're in the third part of this series called The Daniel Dilemma. The past couple weeks, Pastor Theron has done a great job laying out this message, and this message series was inspired by Pastor Chris Hodges in his book called The Daniel Dilemma. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Theron opened this series with talking about the culture and how we need to respond when culture shifts, and he gave us points about grace and truth. Last week, Pastor Theron continued the series talking about the Babylon mentality. He gave us the three I will statements by saying that we must exalt God, acknowledge God, and humble ourselves. If you missed any of those, I encourage you to go to crosspointworshipcenter.com and listen to those perfect messages that Pastor Darren delivered over the past couple weeks. This week, we're going to, in the part three, we're going to talk about standing firm and living a stand-up life. And then next week, we're going to have another special speaker, Miss Karen Stone is going to conclude this series by talking about loving well. So I want to jump right into this third part of this series, and you know we're going to be looking at standing firm and standing up for God. And I believe this message is something that, given culture today and our society that we live in today, it is something that we all need to hear. It's important that we as Christians stand firm in our faith in Him, as well as to love well. And we hear the phrases stand, stand up, or stand firm in the Bible a lot. And one of the places we see this in the Bible is in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 and 14, where it says this: "Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, do everything in love." And I think this is one of the best verses when it comes to standing firm in faith, as well as loving well. And we're going to be using this verse this week and next week as we conclude this series. And it's important that as we go and we stand firm and we love well, that we don't get distracted by what's going on around us in culture of compromise. I want to look at this theme of standing firm with one of the most famous stories in the book of Daniel. Now, there's the story of the lion's den, which is definitely one of the stories that we hear a lot growing up. But one of the story I want to focus on today is of the fiery furnace. And I encourage you, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, to turn to the third chapter of Daniel. And we're going to start right in the beginning with the first several verses. And I want you to look at how we see the words image and sound. And what's important is, it's important that we see that, because culture wants us to, when it wants us to distract us from God and wants us to focus on the wrong things and worship the wrong things, the Bible shows us that through words like sound and hear, and doesn't directly say it. Doesn't say worship this, worship that. He uses the wrong things with image and sound. So let's start in Daniel chapter 3, and we'll see this, verses 1 through 7, and it says this: "King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide, and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. So the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officers assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before it. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, 'Nations and peoples of every language, this is what you are commanded to.' As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, and all kinds of music, all the nations of people of every language fell down and worshiped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So you can see through a lot of this that we hear the image and the sound a lot in here. And we can see that there's this image of gold that they are commanded to worship, that King Nebuchadnezzar has commanded them to worship. And skipping down a few verses in Daniel chapter 3, verse 12, it says this: "But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, your majesty." So here we see how these three guys basically are paying no attention. They're not believing this. They're not buying into it. And it's important that, and something that we see here, and that is, if you're going to stand for something, or in this case, bow down to the right thing, you might as well stand down to your Creator, stand down to God. And also, it's important that when we worship, when we worship God, that we worship Him together. We worship Him the right way. And unfortunately, today in this society, there's too much division, and there's too much hatred, even between Christians and even among people of the same backgrounds. There's too much division, and we will get into the loving and not hating part next week, but we must represent God and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the right way. And we're going to see some of this rage that King Nebuchadnezzar has here in verses 13 and 14 here. "Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, 'Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up?'" And then it goes on to say in verse 15, "I'll give you one more chance. When the music plays, if you fall down and worship the statue, all will be well. But if you refuse, you'll be thrown into a flaming furnace within the hour, and what God can deliver you out of my hands then." And it's important, you know, we see how we're not faced with a situation like a fiery furnace, but sometimes as Christians we're put into situations where we almost don't know what to do. Whether it's at work or whether it's across the street in the classroom, we're sometimes around the people, we're in those situations where it's just not right, and when it's a very just un-Christian-like atmosphere. And unfortunately, in this day and age, that is widely accepted. And it's important that we stand up, we stand for God in those type of situations. And honestly, that is why Pastor Chris Hodges called it the Daniel Dilemma, because we find ourselves in times where we're struggling, or we're in the dilemma situations. So I have a few points. You have message notes there inside your worship guide, and so you can follow along as I go through some of these points. And the first point is, standing firm takes courage. Courage stands up, courage looks up, and courage speaks up. I want to go back to our story, Daniel chapter 3, verse 16, where it says this: "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not worried about what will happen to us.'" And we see how in this story that even though they were told, "This is what you should do, this is what you must do," they stood up, they stood for God, and they stood for what they believed in. And in our society today, sometimes culture wants to pull us in certain directions, but we should go and stand for God, and that should be what our number one goal should be in life. Chris Hodges said this perfectly, and I'm going to use this from his book. He said, "Courage isn't the absence of fear. Courage is standing firm in spite of my fear." When we stand and have that courage, powerful things can truly happen. So the first point is standing firm takes courage. The second one we're going to come across in our story next is standing firm takes faith. Having that faith in God and that He's on your side, and that when you have that courage, when you go against the enemy and against the wrong things in culture, God is standing at your side no matter what happens to you. And we're going to see that right here in verses 17 and 18 of this story. If we are thrown into the flaming furnace, our God is able to deliver us. They had that faith. And then it goes on to say, and He will deliver us out of your hand, your majesty. And then he said, but even if He doesn't, if He doesn't show up, please understand, sir, that even then, we will never under any circumstances serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have erected. The main thing I take away from that is that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they saw the situation to go positive either way. One, they were going to stand up, they were going to worship God, and they were going to be able to continue doing that if they got out of the situation. But even if God didn't show up, or even Jesus didn't show up, they were going to go to heaven. And they were going to be able to be in heaven and seated at the right hand of God. And I think it's important that, you know, because today's society is so divisive that, you know, we always talk about all the things we're against. So we're against this side, we're against this policy, or against this person. It's all negative. But in reality, we need to realize that we should stand for the things that are most important in our lives. And Pastor Theron always loved to say, if God isn't first, He's not in your life. And that's why, you know, if we don't stand for God, or if we don't stand for something in general, we'll fall for the wrong things. And that is exactly what the enemy wants to happen. We need to stand in firm in faith and for God. It goes on to say in our story, verses 19 through 25. Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury, and his face became dark with anger at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He commanded that the furnace be heated up 7 times hotter than usual, and called for some of the strongest men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the fire. So they bound them tight with ropes and threw them into the furnace fully clothed. And because the king, in his anger, had demanded such a hot fire in the furnace, the flames leaped out and killed the soldiers as they threw them in. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fell down, bound into the roaring flames. But suddenly, as he was watching, Nebuchadnezzar jumped in amazement and exclaimed to his advisors, "Didn't we throw 3 men into the furnace?" "Yes," they said, "we did indeed, your majesty." "Well, look," Nebuchadnezzar shouted, "this is the best part of this story. I see 4 men unbound walking around the fire, and they aren't even hurt by the flames. And the 4th looks like Jesus, the Son of God." If that isn't amazing, I truly don't know what is. That, you know, we see here at the end of this story, we're going to read the last couple of verses here, and because King Nebuchadnezzar sees this, he completely just changes his thinking and just completely switches sides. We're going to see that verses 26 and 27. Then Nebuchadnezzar came as close as he could to the open door of the flaming furnace and yelled, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So they stepped out of the fire. Then the princes, governors, captains, and counselors crowded around them and saw that the fire had not touched them. Not a hair of their herd was singed. Their coats were unscorched, and they didn't even smell of smoke. So we see here that we don't have to follow that culture. We have God on our side, and we have to stand up for Him. And we're going to see that here. I'll have a couple other points that I'll get to later on. But the second point is standing firm takes faith. The third point here is that standing firm inspires others. And we hear all the time about great people in the world. And one of the most famous people is the late Billy Graham, who always went out into the communities, always around the world, and preached the word of God, and he inspired others. And we see even in stories like this, maybe we won't be faced with a story like this one, but when we're in those situations where we don't know what to do and we stand up for God, we can truly change the people around us and inspire the people around us and create change. In verses 28 through 30, it says this: "Then Nebuchadnezzar said, 'Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble, for no other god can save in this way.' Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon." And so here, you know, in the end here, we see King Nebuchadnezzar, you know, he is inspired by what happened. He sees Jesus coming and rescuing these three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And it's important that we as Christians, that when we get in a relationship with God and we have the right people around us, so that we can inspire the people and we can reach out, you know, across the street on campus. One of the things Pastor Theron has been a champion on is trying to reach that campus across the street and trying to help let people know God and bring people closer together. And the biggest thing that Pastor Chris Hodges says in this book is, be a voice, not an echo. So I want to, so we kind of established what it takes to have those three ways to stand firm to God, and I want to kind of give three practical ways. And the first one is stand in prayer. It says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, "Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." He then goes on to say in verses 13 and 14, "Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then." This morning we had, before the service, the Dream Team had a chance to pray, and we listened to a video about how, you know, we get to pray for other people, and we get to have that time of prayer, and there really is no better time to have with God than when it is in prayer. And, you know, and also the other thing is, in America and in other places around the world, we also get to have the freedom to come to church and to pray to God. And that's why it's important that we stand in prayer. Prayer, you know, prayer is that great time. And the key to courage, you know, tying back the point I made earlier, the key to courage is spending time with Jesus. And there's no better time than prayer time. So the first point is stand in prayer. The second point I want to give is stand for my purpose. The enemy is going to try and stop us and distract us and try and put other things in front of us. You know, in this story, it was the gold and the other gods that he wanted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to worship. But we, as a society, have to overcome that and live up to the purpose that God has given each and every one of us. The enemy will also try and give us excuses for not living our purpose. He'll say, "Oh, I'm not feeling like it. Oh, I don't want to do this." But we have to stand up and stand for what our purpose is. Here at Cross Point, we have the Dream Team and the Growth Track. And today actually is step 3 of that Growth Track. And that's where we talk about what and help you discover what your purpose is. And I want to kind of show some of the ways to serve God through the gifts that he gives us here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 says this: "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm, let nothing move you." Goes on to say, "Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." So you have to stand firm in God and in your purpose. The final point is this, and that is stand for God. And that's the most important one, I believe. You know, and you may say, well, that seems like, you know, why? You may ask a little bit about why. And the answer is simple. Because God has always stood for us. He created each one of us with a purpose. He loved each one of us. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to forgive our sins. He's done all these things, and he uses all of us in different and special ways. God has been for us and always stands with us no matter what we are facing. And the best gift we can give to him, besides following him, is to stand for him. And it's a good thing that, you know, sometimes we're able to do this, and we, you know, but it's also great when we can say that we are a Christian and that we're proud to stand with him, and we're proud to stand for the one and only true God. I want to look at this point here in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. It says this: "Stand up for me against world opinion, and I'll stand up for you before my Father in heaven." So I want to close with this, and Pastor Chris Hodges shares this, and that Jesus isn't standing right now, but he's sitting, and we see that here in Colossians 3, verse 1, where it says, "Where Christ is seated at the right hand of God." The reality is, Jesus stands one time in the New Testament, and that is the story of Stephen. And Stephen is the first person to lose his life for Christianity, and as they were stoning him, we see here in Acts chapter 7, verse 55 and 56, where it says this: "But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look," he said, "I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Jesus does stand, and when we stand for him and his Father in heaven, I want to close with this, and that is that the good things happen to us. The glory of God is seen when we reach out and when we inspire those, when we stand for God and we share our declaration of faith. And this is, you know, I want to just close with this, and that is, not only should we stand for God, but that when we stand, Jesus stands with us. When I stand, Jesus stands with me. This is just a powerful thought to think about, that when we stand for God and when we stand in prayer and stand for the purpose that he's given us, he gave us that. And Jesus stands with us. And honestly, I don't think there's a better point than this one, that when we stand, he stands with us. No matter what the situation we're in, whether it's in the classroom or in the office or just out in the community at the grocery store, he is always standing with us, and he always watching us and protecting us. And it's important that as we go through our daily life, we put him first, we stand up to him, we pray to him, we have faith in him, and that we're always 100% for him. I ask you to bow your heads with me this morning in prayer. And I want to just say this, that if you're here this morning, I want to give you an opportunity that, even if you're watching online this morning, that if you feel that you have not stood for the Lord, or that you don't know God, or that you don't have the right relationship with him, if that's you this morning, where you want to take a stand, while our eyes are closed and heads are bowed, I don't want to embarrass you to come or have you come to the front, but if you would, just slip up a hand so that I know who I'm praying with. Yes, yes, yes. Awesome, awesome. I want to pray this. Jesus, thank you for standing for me. Thank you for being there for me. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sin. Today, I put my faith in Jesus. I make him my Lord. Forgive me for going my own way and invite you to come in and make me brand new. I live for you in Jesus' name. Jesus, thank you for the changed lives this morning. I thank you for what you have done this morning, and what you're going to do with this church, and what you're going to do in each one of our lives this week. Lord, I pray that as we leave this morning, that we are filled with your Spirit and with your presence. Lord, we thank you for the many blessings you have given us and the freedom we have to be in your house this morning. Lord, I pray all these things in your great and mighty name. Amen.